This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. Hurry Kondobolu worked here in Seattle as an organizer for immigrants' rights. Today, he's a nationally known comedian. You may have seen him on Conan, Jimmy Kimmel, and just last week, The Late Show with David Letterman. You may have seen his work as a writer on the sketch show Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell on the FX. Well, tomorrow night, Hurry will be in Seattle's Neptune Theater. He'll be telling some jokes from his debut live comedy album. It's called Waiting for 2042.
But the country's changing and people are freaking out about it. And I know they're freaking out because I keep hearing about the year 2042 on the news. For those of you who don't know, 2042, according to census figures, is the year when white people will be the minority in this country. They'll be 49% and white people are freaking out about it. Don't freak out, white people. You were the minority when you came to this country. Things seem to have worked out for you.
Hurry Kondobolu, welcome back to KUOW. Great to have you here.
Oh, so great to be here.
Welcome to the Pledge Drive, also. how propitious. You joke on this album of yours, Waiting for 2042, about how people accuse you of being obsessed with talking about race. Why do you think that's a normal obsession to have in America?
I mean, the analogy that I use on the record is, telling me that I'm obsessed with racism in America is like telling me I'm obsessed with swimming when I'm drowning. You know, I think you see it in the criminal justice system. You see it in day-to-day interactions. I mean, it's not the way it used to be necessarily for everyone. You know, it's not like crosses being burnt and things like that. But, you know, there's institutional racism that we see all the time. There are the microaggressions of people just not being thoughtful about their comments, which aren't the biggest things in the world. But it's like that means we're not communicating with each other. And I think that will wear away at you, and you start to question your worth as a person of color. You start to question your worth as an American. Those are hard things, and I think to ignore that and just pretend it's gone is foolish. It's ignoring part. I mean, racism is part of our experience, and it's not just people of color. It affects our interactions with each other. You know, regardless of our backgrounds, you know, racism is termites. It's destroying our foundations, even though it's always been part of our foundations. So, yeah, I mean, I think to me, it's you have to discuss it. And I feel fortunate in that I have comedy. I'm a comedian. I get to be funny about it. We get to chip away at it and laugh.
And when you make fun of it, do people come up to you afterwards and exhibit some kind of a better understanding of race than when before they heard the humor? I mean, humor can push people in different directions.
I mean, I don't think it's not like my life has changed by watching Hurry Kondobolu perform, right? I mean, that's the thing with art, you know, like art might question your beliefs. It might make you think. Maybe you went in with a certain point of view and you were laughing at things you didn't think you'd laugh at, and you have to question, why did I laugh at? Why did I think that was funny? What is it about that? What was he saying between the punchlines? And sometimes I have people who, like, their perspective broadens. And some people, you know, a lot of it is also regular exposure to ideas and then questioning your beliefs constantly, whatever your beliefs happen to be, and seeing where you end up. And I think artists are part of that process. You know, we're not the only part of that process, but we're a part of that process. And I think, again, comedy is a cool inroads into certain conversations you would normally have.
As I was listening to your album, I was thinking of Stephen Colbert, who talks about race kind of the opposite way that you do.
Sure.
Because as soon as he starts a bit by saying, I don't see race, I don't see, you know, he's going to launch into some completely oblivious thing. But he is kind of talking about the same thing as you are from the other side.
Sure. I mean, I'm very earnest. I think there's room for being earnest. You know, snarkiness is great, and satire, of course, and what the irony that Colbert uses is brilliant. But like, I like just let's go into it. Like, I just want to start swinging, you know. Not literally, you know. That you should attend my shows. You're safe. But I certainly I like being aggressive. You know, I like, you know, being aggressive. I like making people uncomfortable and getting them back to comfort and seeing if I can get a laugh out of that discomfort. Because I think it is important. Comedy, again, is one of those places where if someone made you uncomfortable, you would normally just leave. With comedy, you're like, oh, I hate this, but where's he going? I paid to see where he's going, you know? It's a strange game that I like to play, but I think, you know, when it works right, it's pretty incredible. It's that interesting room between, like, catharsis and discomfort and laughter. I think, and that there's something freeing about laughter.
You were an organizer for the Hate Free Zone here in Seattle. Yeah, and
now One America.
One America. And one of your early breaks, as I mentioned, was performing at Bumper Shoot.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to get a pretty supportive crowd tomorrow night at the Neptune.
I hope so.
But I'm wondering if there are areas of the country where you tour where your type of humor doesn't go over quite as well, and do you have to kind of adjust your act in that case?
Sure. You know, the thing I've discovered over traveling over the years is you never know when the rough show is going to happen. It's not always going to be like, oh, I'm in this city. You know, sometimes people, they are happy you're there. If it's a smaller town, they're excited and they're willing to listen. Or you don't know how people discover you. The internet is, you know, has opened it up. People who like my stuff will find me and come to the shows regardless of where they are. And there's so many variables. So maybe that was true at some point, but at least for me, like, the part of the country matters less. I will say, yeah, I mean, certainly depending on how the show is going, you make adjustments. And I think it's important. That's part of my job as a comedian. Even if I have things I really want to say, is to meet people where they're at and push them as much as they can to get them to laugh. And if that means I have to improvise a bit more, if that means I have to create more context for them to understand why I'm saying the things that I'm saying, if it means going off script and just meandering a bit and to let them know I'm with you, I'm in this moment, this isn't a rote thing. That's all part of the game of comedy.
I was wondering how much of a rote thing it was. Comics project this confidence and this effortlessness, but there's a lot of work behind that.
Absolutely.
Building a set, isn't there?
I mean, I have an act, which I hate saying because it sounds so hokey. I have things I want to talk about. You know, I have a list of, an agenda. I have things I want to talk about that are important. I have a general path. I like playing with structure in an act. And I like, you know, on the record, there's a lot of structural games I play with, like, the format of comedy. And that's hard to do if you're not actually laying down the foundation from the get-go. But certainly, sometimes you just can't do that. Sometimes you're like, okay, the game I wanted to play tonight, we're not going to play that game. We're doing something different. And sometimes that's more fun. And to be honest, my favorite types of shows are ones where I get to do the bulk of the material I want to do. I lay out the things I want to lay out, but at the same time, I'm improvising as much as possible. Because that means I'm comfortable. That means that the audience is getting what I'm saying, and I'm basically hanging out with a bunch of friends that I don't actually know.
In 2042, which is the title of your album, which is the year in which white Americans will not be the majority any longer, you're going to be 60 years old. How do you think a 60-year-old Hari Kondabolu will look back on the state of race relations today?
Well, in comedian years, 60 is like 150, so keep that in mind. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what race is going to look like then. I mean, things are changing so rapidly. I mean, there's just so many more multiracial people, and we're questioning the idea of whiteness more than ever. I mean, I was on Letterman 2 days ago, and I was talking about race being a social construct. I said that on Letterman. I don't know if I'm going to make a bold claim. I think I'm the first stand-up comedian on late-night television to say race is a social construct. And the fact there is a space for me to say that now is a good sign, because I don't think I'll be the last person who's going to be able to bring certain kind of critical analysis to these issues. And to me, if I can say this now, what is it going to be like in 40 years? If we're starting these conversations now, can we actually break this thing down and realize it's all nonsense, that it's all made up, that race is a way to divide us, and this, you know, we have to let go of some of the things we've held on to. Like, we've held on to our bigotry and our prejudice and our assumptions as if they're an institution, and they're not. So, I mean, I can't tell you what it's going to look like, but if we're here now, I'm hopeful. And I realize with my comedy, sometimes I come off as cynical and pessimistic, but the reason I'm able to laugh about these things is because I'm hopeful. You know, otherwise I wouldn't do comedy. I mean, I actually think there's a way out, and that's why I'm talking about the things I'm talking about.
Hari Kondabolu, his debut live comedy album on Kill Rock Stars, is called Waiting for 2042. You'll only have to wait till tomorrow night if you'd like to catch him. He'll be at the Neptune Theater on Saturday evening. Here's another taste of his comedy.
And the kind of racism that's directed towards Mexican people in this country doesn't even make any sense. Like, the racism is absurd. What are the major stereotypes you hear? Mexicans are lazy. But you also hear Mexicans steal all the jobs. How do those two things work together? How can you be lazy and still magically steal all the jobs?
Well, that's easy. Some Mexicans are lazy, and some Mexicans work really hard. Oh, you mean like all people?